I want to invite y'all into a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. This is going to be the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to start at chapter 2, start at verse 1, continue through verse 12. So I invite you to join with me as we gather around the Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they were asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" And then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem. And he was saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, the child, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising and until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down, they paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, in whatever season we find ourselves in, we thank you for your word that has been spoken to us in our midst. And we pray and ask, Lord, that in the midst of the words that have been spoken this morning, your holy words, we pray and ask that you will let us receive them in our hearts, that you may let us, O Lord, to be lifted up in our own spirits by your words. And I thank you, O God, I thank you for the words that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray that as I preach this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For this we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. You know how so many of those stories go, don't stop me if you've already heard this, because, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tell the story anyway like that. But you know that part of my experience is in the brief time that I've been here, you know that I didn't grow up in the United Methodist Church. It was not the Methodist Church that I was a part of. And so my very first time coming into the United Methodist Church, I was struck. Because I came into two doors, and it was a sanctuary. It was a worship space my first time coming in. So I was into a sanctuary, and I came in, didn't feel like I could come up to the front rows at all at that point. Not that I was at that time looking to be on the front rows or anything like that. But I found myself in the back and started looking around. There were lots of things that were familiar about it. I'd grown up in church, so I knew it was part of the Nazarene church was my experience. So I'd grown up in church as a child, and I was there. But I looked down to a space that was just like this. And I do want to thank everyone who has over this time. You know, this is my first Advent, my first Christmas here at Grace Point. I want to thank all of you who, even in the nick of time, was working so hard. But I was sitting there at United Methodist Church in Warrior. It's just a little bit up the road from here. But I was sitting there in that pew, and I looked down, and I saw an altar table that was covered. It wasn't covered in white that day, but it was covered in green. And I saw pyramids for the first time. But what really struck me, and you hear me do this with our kids all the time, because it's one of those things that really struck me, is I saw candles that were lit on the altar. That was brand new for me. That was something that I'd never experienced before. And then only to learn a little bit later, I mean, maybe that's not just a good question for our children, but maybe it's a really good question for us too, is that what are some of those places that we've seen light over this past month? Where are some of those places that maybe we've found light for the first time over these past few months, or just, I don't know, these past few minutes, these past few hours? But I was amazed that there was lights and candles that were on the altar, and them recognizing with acolytes who had brought them in. You know, maybe some of you were trained as that. Maybe some of you had that experience as being acolytes. But acolytes are those, or most often children, that will come in and they will bring the light from the back of the church. So we'll bring the light, and then to learn that it was the light of Christ that was here, that was brought to this altar. And then at the end of worship, at the end of our times here, that it is the light of Christ, because we come in to the light of Christ and we take the light of Christ out for us. And then those beautiful words that Jesus himself will say, "I am the light of the world," that I was just sharing with my children. I was amazed, absolutely amazed at that there would be this light that was there. And you see, for the Gospel of Matthew, you see, as Matthew begins to tell us his story, because he will say, he'll do the correct stuff. In our reading from this morning in Matthew chapter 2, he does the things that will make historians jump up and down. He says, "In the time of King Herod." So that tells us the time, the frame, and the reference. But then notice what he begins to do. So he talks about light. He talks about a star that had risen. And he tells us this story of wise men who have followed that star and led them all the way to where Jesus was born. You see, one of the things that is so easy for all of us to forget is the kind of power that can come in a glimpse of light. And what I hope especially for us as we have gathered in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, is that what I hope for us is not so easy to forget is the sheer importance that God uses to bring light into our world. I mean, just think about that. Just think about the kind of light that was bringing you into the church this morning. Just think about the kind of light that maybe guided you through what, I don't know, could have been a very dark December. Could have been a very difficult time of the year for you. But imagine that kind of light that is there. Again, oh, that is something that we never forget, but it is part of who we are as people who are created by God. It is part of our nature to oftentimes miss the light as it rises and as it guides us. You hear me telling a story like that this morning about the lights that are on the altar, because even me, I will oftentimes take those for granted. Because I will do all that kind of preacher stuff and think about, well, what about everything else that's around that light, and forget the simple light of Christ that is here and that is present with us. Again, in a space that is as beautiful as this space is now, and in a space that I know that I had an opportunity with my own children to come into, and then the Chrismon tree that is right outside in the vestibule, right outside in those doors, and hear them look up and see it for the very first time and say, wow. I know that in the midst of a space like this, that it is easy to get caught up in the awe. That it is easy to get caught up in the excitement. But the light of Jesus Christ that led the wise men, and the light of Jesus Christ that continues to be uncovered and revealed to people like us, in our moments when we are wise, and even in our moments when we are very far from wise, that is a light that still shines. Now, it is true that there is a darkness that at times will threaten to overcome it. This is also revealed to us through this story that Matthew picks up. Because you see, as King Herod, who seems to have the best of intentions, says, "Oh yes, I am well aware of a new king. Oh yes, I am well aware of perhaps what God can do in our world." So when you find, did you pick up on that? Did you see what did you see what Matthew was doing? Did you notice in just a few verses, in 12 verses, did you see what Matthew was inviting us to experience? Not only the journey of the wise men on camels, coming very far from the east, following a star, but we also have this aspect. We also have an aspect of a ruler that is in place. We have an aspect of King Herod that is in place who will, well, when he meets face to face with these very wise men who are searching for a new king that has been born, he'll very shrewdly, very politically invite them and say, well, let me know. Let me know when you discover that king. Let me know where that light is going to lead you, because I too want to go and pay him homage. And then, at the end of what we were gathering around this morning, we have this very discreet passage. It's almost a throwaway line, but for Matthew it means more than anything. And then the wise men who are warned in a dream decide that they will not go back to King Herod, but they will return to their own homes by another road. And I wonder about that. Is the light that has come to us this year, the light of Jesus Christ that has been revealed to us this year and in this moment, is that light enough to perhaps change our course in life? Is the light that led the wise men from the east, is that light enough to change maybe the direction that we have found ourselves, even as early as we are in this new year? Is it enough to change the direction that we have had? I mean, the promise that we have through this story, and the promise that I want our children to always remember, is that the light of Jesus Christ is going to be present with us forever. There is always going to be places where that light of Jesus Christ is going to break through the darkness, no matter how corrupt the leaders are. No matter it seems how out of touch the rest of the world may seem in the places that we find ourselves in, the light of Jesus Christ is going to be present. But as we experience that light of Jesus Christ, is it going to be enough to show us the path that God is revealing right here and right now in our own lives? Because for at least these wise men, it was enough. It was enough to show them a different path. It was enough to show them a path that would, well, lead them to follow a light of not only a king, but the light of a Savior that had been born, well, even for wise men that had come very far from the east. Now, I will tell you this. I will say that I don't know. I don't know if it's enough to take the robe and the crown and the gifts of the wise men. I don't know if that's enough to really connect us enough in this world so that we will follow that light, so that we will take the path that God is showing us. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before or not, but I was reluctantly, in my church growing up, I was reluctantly invited to be a wise man. They said, Eddie, you would be a perfect one. We only had three boys in the children's church at that time, so it was either shepherd or wise men. I knew I didn't have the role of Joseph by any means, so I knew that it had to be there. But you notice this, that as we have come here, and even for our children, I mean, I was surprised, because for me it seems like Christmas has been a good bit ago, but even our children may be experiencing this. But you know, it takes wise men a while. It takes wise men a while to get there. So I was a wise man with a couple of other grandchildren of my pastor, but really good friends of mine. And so they told us, they said, well, you know, we're going to have our angels. We're going to have Mary and Joseph. We're going to have a shepherd. Well, only one, we recruited one. But we're going to have a shepherd that is there. Our preacher, I know how hard that is to recruit now. But I didn't know it at the time. But so we're going to do that sweet stuff that's going to happen on the stage. But you wise men, you go out and you wait outside. They wouldn't even let us stay in the church. We had to go outside the doors and we had to wait outside. And so we were dressed. We were dressed with our, we had some staffs. We didn't have our treasure chest, so we had some staffs. We had our robes and we had our crowns. And so we decided, because we were waiting outside and because we were on a main road, we decided, well, there's some big bushes that are next to our church. So what if we got into those bushes? And what if, when a car passed, what if we chased those cars wearing our wise men garb with our crowns and with our robes and with our staffs? I mean, what would people think? We got discovered doing that. I won't tell you that part of the story, but I do want to tell you that just because we wear the right clothes, just because we know the right words, just because we have the right, well, what we assume are the right gifts, does not mean we're always going to follow the right path. Which is what the story of the wise men does. Is it reminds us that although the light of Christ may be shining all around us, it is up to us. It is up to our own free will that God has created in us to determine what path is God inviting us to in this moment. What path is God uncovering and revealing to us in this moment? Because we know the light's there, but do we have the courage to resist, as much fun as it may be to chase cars? Is it enough for us to resist those temptations, those voices that, even though we were supposed to appear wise, we weren't acting it at all? But is it enough for us to walk on that path that God is revealing in this moment? Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for redemption. We thank you, O God, for paths of holiness. We thank you, O God, for the kind of mercy and the kind of grace that you look upon us and you so freely offer to us. Lord, I thank you for the path that you have found me on as pastor here at Grace Point. And I thank you for all of us, Lord, who are traveling this path together and are searching, O God, to see where you are taking us. We thank you, O God, for the light of Jesus Christ that is here now with us. And Lord, we pray and ask that light, that it will be a flood of light that will uncover each and every step that we take. You have promised us, Lord. You have promised us that if we walk in the light of Jesus Christ, that there will be no darkness. And Lord, we pray that that will be true for us. And we also pray, O God, that it will be true in our world. May the light of Jesus Christ, the very same light that is present here this morning with us, may it spread to the very ends of this earth. So that those who are very far from the east, so that those who are very far from the west, so that those who are very far from the north and the south, from everywhere, so they may come into the light of Christ. And Lord, as your own followers, may we live and walk in the light of Christ. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we do have a gift that is here for you this morning. It is Christ our Lord who invites us together at the table that is set before us. I do want to remind you that you do not have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. You do not have to be a member of Grace Point. It is Jesus who invites us to come and to take and to eat. And so you are invited, that as we prepare for Holy Communion, you're invited to come and to eat. It is part of our tradition that you'll be offered a piece of the bread. You will take that bread and you'll place it into the cup. It is by intention that we will do that. And so you'll be invited to do that if you would like to. If you would like to, after you receive, you can take a moment and you can pray at the altar. You will notice that at times that there are folks that will bring gifts, that they will bring an offering, just place it on the railing of the altar. What that does is that goes for benevolences that are in and around our community. So that's where those gifts come from. You're not expected or required to bring that gift, but just so that you'll know where it is. I've invited Reverend Tim Alexander. He's going to come, and he is going to invite us to the table this morning. And Tim reminded me this morning that by excellent people that are here at Grace Point, that he was given a wireless mic too. And so, Tim, if you would lead us into Holy Communion.
Thank you so much. On this Epiphany Sunday, where we celebrate the manifestation of Jesus Christ as a light to the world, not as a light to the people of Israel, not only as a light to the people of Israel, but as a light to the world. And we remember that the Gentile wise men, or magi, or kings, or whatever Eddie told us to call them today, they were outside the door, you know. They weren't inside the walls to worship, but they saw the light, and they followed it, and they searched for it, traveled miles and miles. And then they brought gifts, and those gifts, while they had value, they had a lot of symbolism too. They brought gold, which is a gift for a king. They brought frankincense, which is kind of burned in worship, burned in prayer, representing the presence of God. And they brought myrrh, which is an odd gift for a baby because it's an anointing oil for death. So as we sang this morning, we three kings, today we come to remember Jesus Christ, but we remember him as our King, as our God, and as our sacrifice. And I'm so glad we get to come to the table today. But we remember that it's nothing we've done. It's all because of Jesus that we're able to come to this table. So today, we remember that sacrifice. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So we remember that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, unite us together. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in victory. We praise you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Invitation that you're invited. Pat, if you would come forward.
It's the body of Christ given for you.
Amen. This is the blood of Jesus Christ that's shed for you.
Praise God.
And as Pat begins to play, you're invited to come down as well.